A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast episode number 116. We billed the last podcast episode as the greatest hurling weekend of the year, and boy did it deliver. There was plenty of drama in the championships at senior, premier, intermediate and intermediate level, and I'm joined here by Stephen Cronin and Sean Smith to discuss all the action. We're also taking donations in PV Towers here for giving some motivation to some teams there for, you know, we might have been nailed up on the dressing room wall, so All congratulations and all praises well and duly taken. And we'll also discuss at the end of the night the Premier View power ranking. So, Stephen, we had a great weekend. We started at the senior, we started at the top. We had some great quarterfinals there. Three, I suppose, really close games, and one, I suppose, Stars drum game, which I suppose was the only resounding win for Stars. And we'll talk to Sean about in a second about that. But Loughmore and Ross Grey, this was a bit of a cliffhanger there now. On what was supposed to be the Friday night lights were brought forward or brought back to Saturday.
Killalangan and Holy Cross with the Friday night one. Sorry, Kevin, we're having a bit of a start, but look, we'll drive on anyway. Yeah, we got rained off there Friday night. I suppose everyone was looking forward to nestling into a home dinger on, you know, if you weren't traveling, it was on Clubber, and it got postponed there 24 hours. But again, it didn't disappoint. An absolute cracker and an epic of a game. You know, we had Darrell Woods, yeah. Scoring at will over the shoulder on the turn, you know, difficult angles. You know, worldies that begun viral, you know, but a cracking game. And fair play to Holy Cross, like they really put it up to him. Like, you know, if we were going into the weekend and we were picking winners, we probably would have thought Killadangan might have been a little bit more comfortable. But Jesus, Holy Cross gave it to him, you know, and put it right up to him. And you know, look, fair play to Killadangan. They dealt with the favourites tags. They got the win during the semi final, you know. But we started off. They set the tone for the weekend. You know, we had some absolutely brilliant games this weekend. And, you know, hats off to Holy Cross. They're a coming team. They're building. We probably would have been a little bit worried earlier on the year with the high scores being conceded. And they came out of a difficult group, but they acquitted themselves extremely well this weekend. And Killadangan, then they had enough to do the job. And you know, to Sean Hayes had a right good game up top, I thought, for him. And you know, they'll be confident, especially with a real good game going into a semi final. it's hard to judge a team off a, you know, if they have a blowout there and go into a semi final with a soft enough game under their belt, but you know they'll be well tuned anyway for a semi final.
Yeah, and Holy Cross, you know, you mentioned, I suppose, how young they are, and you know that I think it was their first quarter final. Again, don't quote me on this, but 19 years I heard, but you know, we'll definitely be seeing them again in the quarter final before then. Great underage success recently. Kyle Barrett, kind of, you know, their spiritual leader, if you will, up centre forward. And every time, you know, I thought that Kildangan might get away, you know, they came back and they got a goal or a couple of great points. They just wouldn't go away.
Yeah, and that's great character, because it's very easy for, I'm not going to say a small club, because Holy Cross are a massive club, but a team not expected to be in the situation, or, you know, they might go up and throw the kitchen sink at them, and then with 10 minutes to go, they kind of fall away, but there was no getting rid of them. You know, it's, look, they won't want to hear about a moral victory, so we won't speak about it, but it's a stepping stone, and you'd be thinking, you know, this is a brilliant year for Holy Cross, and it was a brilliant performance in the quarterfinal against one of the county favourites. You know, they'll be around for a while coming yet, you know, and they lead us all over the pitch. And as I said earlier, they weren't willing to back down. They went to the wire, and that's a sign of huge character on top of talent. And, you know, that's great for Holy Cross' future.
And Sean, I suppose, to talk about Kildangan, arguably up there as joint favourites now with Turles for the Dan Breen. How would you assess them after a, you know, quite tough quarter final?
Yeah, like coming up to half time, they were 6-3, and I kind of thought they'd pull away, but by God, like they got the penalty, Barrett took a penalty farewell there, and 40 could follow up with a goal before half time. They level, like, and the game swung on that, like, you know, like if Kildangan another point before that, 7 or 8 at half time, wouldn't see the Holy Cross, their ears are pricked, like, you know, they could see something here, and they come out in the second half and did the hurling as well. Like, Kildangan again, we're always saying they're going to probably get enough in the end to get it, which you did, like, you know, kind of what Holy Cross were there the whole way. I mentioned Darragh Woods already, like, he's hitting points, and to be honest, if he missed one, he'd be going, why is he even shooting from there? But his radar was absolutely perfection, like, it was different level. And like Barrett is good, Brian Maher, their main players, like, that's what they want at that level. Like, they stood up. Like, other teams during the championship maybe flatter to see a bit, and their main marquee players might have stood up, but their big lads for sure stood up there. Like, Barrett hitting, scoring 1-3, one with a penalty, all right, like 41-1, hard goal. Like, so they have players where they feel they're coming well. They're winning underage, to be honest, last week as well. So, like, they're going to be thereabouts this kind of level now for next while, and they're going to give teams something to worry about.
Yeah, and I suppose the Kildangan, there's a bit more improvement in them, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad wides as well. Kildangan played a lot of bad wides as well in the half. Like, Billy Seymour did great with the good. Like, you know, he hit some great points for us to score bad wides as well. But he's on the ball so much that was saying that. Did he get, what, 5 or 6 points in play? Like, so you're saying that how many did he could have got if he didn't hit the wides as well? But that game could stand Kildangan way more than going out and winning by land, like, they had to dig in, and like this championship, where wins it, is going to win it by digging in and beating nearly everyone that's title contender. Like,
yeah, we might discuss the draw at the end of the night as well. But you know, getting, I suppose, we can't spend too much time on any one of the games, with the other quarter final, then Loughmore and Ross Gray, last year's Seamus O'Rean champions, certainly did that division or championship proud there on Saturday.
Go ahead, Sean.
We're kind of saying last week, weren't we, that if Ross Gray can come out and just go for it and play their flow and hurling and score, which is exactly what they've done. Like, you know, going in half time, were they up by 117-29? Like, that was massive. Like, and I was like, second half, come out now and 10 points to see him through, you know, even kind of looking to score, but a lot more. But this Ross Gray team, like, they showed a bit of flair this year, I think, kind of played hurling in an enjoyable way to watch, like, for spectators. Like, and to be honest, like, people are saying that they're maybe to be struggling to kind of get out of the group, but they got out and left other teams in the dust now, like, in tune, probably with their form up as well by beating Snowden to extra time as well. So, you know, like, Ross Gray are like banged there in the last 8, but yeah, at the end,
Stephen, do you think maybe, you know, Ross Gray, they had the great first half, as Sean said, going in 5 up. Well, you know, watching him in that second half, it was a bit frustrating watching him kind of, you know, the real kind of just lateral stuff in the half half back line, full back line before. You know, I think it was noted on commentary, I'm not sure who it was, you know, their forward was actually getting cold up there. Do you think that maybe the difference in winning that game could have been maybe switching a bit, going a bit more direct that second half?
Yeah, look, I suppose early delivery is at, and you know, all the forwards want is early delivery. But we have to credit Ross Cray, and you'd be hoping other clubs look at him and use him as an example. We have a style of play that's working for you. You know, you have your own blueprint, you have your own identity. There's you're best off focused on your own rather than changing everything up because of the opposition. And Ross Cray did that, and it's gotten to that point of the Tipperary Senior Hurling quarterfinal. Now, probably they could have been a little bit sharper in the delivery in the second half, especially, but that comes with inexperience. You know, you're up against Loughmore Castellini. They're a top level team. They don't panic under pressure. You know, they're just going to do their own thing for the whole game. And, you know, a little bit of inexperience, a little bit of probably naivety, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can get away with a couple of passes around the middle of the area and, you know, it mightn't break down, not necessarily something comes out, or you could get a good score off it. But the next play doesn't necessarily mean you can do the same thing again, you know? And they'll take a huge knowledge from that game, you know what I mean? And I think, again, Ross Cray, with the way they play, with the flair they play, you know, they didn't go up there saying, oh, we're a small team here, let's play, throw everyone back in the back line, you know, let's play gung ho, we'll see how we go. They went out there to win that game playing their way, and I think it was a huge credit to them. Look, again, the forwards probably wanted that ball a bit earlier, but these are little lessons that they learn going forward.
Yeah, and I thought John McGrath in that game got one of the points of the weekend, certainly, until I saw Darrell Woods play. But you know, he got an absolute beaut in the second half there, like a golfer swing, no backswing on it. Like, it was just perfect at it. But Noel taking off, would you be a bit worried there? Maybe an injury must have been.
I think, did someone say he might have been ill for the last few days or something? There's so many games on, so many different commentaries that it could have been someone else that was ill all week. But
someone missed him and Tynan. Someone said Bolton might have been even like full of the game.
Yeah, Alan Tynan as well could have been a little bit ill. But isn't that a fair reflection on Loughmore, that Noel was practically anonymous throughout the game?
Didn't get any scores, I don't think, yeah.
Do you know, and he barely, look, because I felt like, it's Noel McGrath, he barely got on much ball as well, like, you know what I mean? But Loughmore still able to find a way. You know, when you go to games throughout the years and they might be missing this player or that player, but they still find a way, and it's going to be a great confidence boost going forward for him if he's ticking the next day, because if he's ticking the next day, they're going to be stronger again, you know, and you'd expect them to be, look, they probably got a bit lucky with the red card maybe that should have been, you know what I mean? So like, we all rely on a little bit of luck every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. Those small breaks, sometimes they go for you and sometimes they don't. But as I said, fully fit Noel McGrath coming into the stadium there on a Saturday night lights in 2 weeks' time is going to be brilliant. Suppose we have to move on to the Sunday games. That's because we've all the different divisions to get through yet. Where to start with the next one, Clonelty and Toom. This was this flowed one way and then the other, like, you know, where to start. I suppose, look, we better start at the most dramatic point, start with that late 21-yard free moved in. Fucking hell, and you know, coming the man had to be Conor Hammersley, I think, with the rebound there. Like, it's Toom at that stage absolutely sick, and after looking winners, you know, just they couldn't shake Clonelty off. Like,
yeah, I was enthralled by the game. It was a game you couldn't take your eyes off, but for the first 20 minutes, Toom were brutal. You know, there was no intensity, there was no aggression in their play. And look, these lads are getting ready for a county semi-final, so they probably wouldn't have had an old drink Sunday night, but if they did, Rory Brislan wouldn't have had to put his hand in his pocket, because he pulled off a world-class save when Clonulty were in the ascendancy. When had that goal went in, Tumi Vara were dead and buried, you know, and it gave him the lifeline to stay in the game. Now, Clonulty didn't do enough scoring in the first half when they were miles clear.
Yeah.
And it was like you can't give a team a sniff when you're on top. You just can't give them any hope whatsoever. And whatever went on in the dressing room at half time worked, because whether it was a rollicking or whether it was an arm around their shoulder, because they were a bag of nerves in the first half, and they didn't, I won't say they didn't try, but the working wasn't happening. You know, the intensity wasn't happening. The aggression in the run wasn't happening. But they came out in the second half, and although Clonulty got the first score, Tumi Vara took over the second half. And look, Clonulty are a fantastic team themselves, so they weren't going to roll over either. And what made for the second half and the extra time was just absolutely, it was worth every cent getting into the game to watch it. It was absolutely phenomenal stuff. And, you know, going to extra time, I'm praying it didn't go to penalties, because you wouldn't want to see a team go out on penalties after putting in that kind of performance.
The lads Tomb brought on at half time, 17.
Adam Hall, yeah.
It's 2-3. Yeah. Like, and
I think he got man of the match, actually. Thank you.
I'm not sure, actually, because I was going from match to match. I did, once one was over on Sunday, I was gone into not. I wasn't waiting to see who was getting mad at the match, like, you know.
It was a crazy game. Like, as Steve said there, in the first half, I don't think it 20 attempts to go, and they returned 10. I'm like, no, it could have been outside. Game could have been over, set match. But two in the second half, substitution made at half time, whatever said, came out, different team. And then at the end, they nearly sniffed. Like, I was actually sitting in line nearly with that 21 there. I was kind of saying to Dad, I was like, the rebound here is crucial. And Clonulty kind of pushed over on the far side towards the old stand. And one or two of the two lads didn't even run after the ball, whether on the ground or they slipped or what. But Clonulty just lurched at a break, and that was it. But kind of next time, we always felt to him, had that upper hand, that bit more on him there. And Clonulty lads, like, lads were cramping everywhere. Like, the field is getting heavy, you know. You see it, they gave it their all. And no, they've just had a bit much name, but Tomb, like, Tomb are kind of this team this year now. They're kind of going and showing more every game, and it's hard to know.
Yeah,
talk about the same fine draw later on, but like, they're ready to shine.
They can't start like that in the semi final though. Like, no, you know, they were probably lucky that, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but Clonulty Rossmore in a relegation battle for a reason, and it seems to be putting scores on the board. You know, the first day, I know it was a tough old day, but getting scores seems to be big, proper scores. Like, you know, 10 points return in the first half when they dominated play was a very poor return. So they were very lucky in a sense that they were up against a team that was under pressure. I think if that was against the other teams that were in the quarterfinals, I think the game would have been over at halftime. So that's something they need to work on for the semi-final. They can't. You won't get a second chance in the semi-final by coming out by waiting till halftime to start playing. And then the mental side of things, the backs not following up the 21 was, I thought, was criminal. You know, they shouldn't have been in a position where they could have thrown away the game. If you remember it, right at the death, a Clonulty lad had possession of the ball and strangely went for a shot over the bar when they were 2 points down, you know, when he needed to go for a goal. If a goal was worked there, there was no comeback. You know, like, these mental little switch, when they turn off mentally for a couple of seconds, or even as the first half, as it showed, that would be punished in the semi final, and that's something they need to work on.
Yeah, and he hit that ball wide, Steve, didn't he? He timed
yeah.
it all.
He hit it wide. Yeah,
he
it was so it. Strange. Like,
yeah.
It was so strange. And look, that didn't cost him the game. They had 60 minutes, and then they 20 minutes in extra time, like, you know. So I'm not going to pin the blame of the game on that. It was a bad decision, but I think the mental block of the 21, where no Tumi Vara defender followed it up, that put him in a situation where that lad at the end had a chance, you know. And these are just little things that they need to work on mentally.
Yeah, exactly. Where for now for Clonulty, you know, they go from the, you know, like, the three other losing quarterfinals done for the year, you know, have a few drinks, as you said, Sunday night, Stephen, but they have 2 weeks now till, you know, Brackens they have. We'll talk about your game in a while, but, you know, Brackens certainly put in, you know, kind of under the radar performance, a win against Drum in their final group game to kind of give them a bit of momentum. But, you know, it's a strange situation for Clonulty, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it might suit Clonulty a bit, actually, getting that game into them as well. Like, they showed something first half to know they have. Like, it's just put water better there and they're coming outside. Like, and then they showed the fight, then come back in, like, you know, in relegation battles, they take a life of their own. And like, pulling that game back 4 down to win their time, like, my standing 2 weeks' time, like, 3 weeks' time.
Yeah. And I say, if you're in any of the relegation spots there, you take Connulty's last few weeks ahead of the few weeks that the other teams have had, because when everyone else played the third round of the championship, Connulty then had the preliminary quarterfinal and they had the quarterfinal. That's two huge games leading into relegation semi-final. Now, the other three teams wouldn't have played any meaningful match in all that time, you know, and training the whole time, and no matter how much you try and replicate the intensity of a match, it's never going to be a match. Connulty will have two humdingers, Mullaghone last week and Tumivara this week. They have 2 weeks then to get the bodies right after yesterday's exertions. If I'd rather be in Connulty's position than any of the other three going into the relegation semi-finals.
Yeah, I'd be the same thing as that there, Stephen. Like, to be no reason why they wouldn't want to. You say games are worth everything. Like, you know, you can do so much training sessions, Stephen, and like them two games they had, they dig it out. Like, and hopefully they'll see then further on top relegation and later on. But like, that was something that they needed. Like, and it'll help them from what I saw in the group games.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We might have lost our host, so we kind of have to duke it out ourselves. yeah, but they'll be delighted with that anyway. And, I think Kevin has gone anyway. And look, we're going to wrap it up on that anyway and move on to the SARS game. So, you know, what's your thoughts on the SARS drum? The game we thought would have been the cracker of the weekend turned out to be a damn squib.
Yeah, I was kind of shitting it, to be honest. And then the game started, and we just kind of just come out of the blocks and just, we just that intensity. I think we had the strength we had at the time. And we're scoring there. Steve McHale, Aidan McCormick, points, Darcy Lakin was a handful. Ronan Maher, as we said here, lads, leaving Ronan Maher loose, and we've always been hit Ronan Maher, like an old friend, looking back on Clubber then again, and kind of saying, even if we got 1 point, that was hit the Ronan, and they passed the ball straight ahead in order to bear, like, instead of drum working through the lines, which they were good at. So whether it was kind of, did the game plan go into window for him early on, or what do you think, Stephen?
To be honest, I was blown away by Sarah's performance. I thought drum would have brought the physicality, because look, everyone knows Sarsfields want to hurl. You know, they want a big open, they destroy in a big open field, one-on-one hurling, fast, direct. But for me, it was Sars set the tempo and physicality, aggression, intensity. And I don't know where Drum expecting it, were they ready for it? But Sars physically blew him out of the water, you know, and Sars were a slow burner all year, like, you know, and if Paddy knows that, Paddy knows that about getting a team ready, especially if been in so many All-Ireland finals himself, getting the team ready for the right time of the year. He seems to have perfected with Sars this year, you know. The work rate around the middle third, I thought, from Sars was excellent. You know, I think the midfielders had 3 or 4 points on the clock within 10 minutes. That's a savage return for any club. And I thought Sarah's movement up top was just too much for Drum. You know, Drum then on the other hand, they have their identity, the style of play. They want to run it out, lads running off the shoulder. But that slows down delivery then into the forward line. And, you know, Ronan Maher's back there mopping up everything. Like, yeah, Drum, I think, would be really disappointed with their performance on the day. And, you know, I thought it was a bit strange having Shamey out doing all the industrious work, doing all the mulliken, being in the middle of the battle. When, if you're going to work the ball out the field from the goalie to the wing back or corner back to the midfielder, put Shamey on the edge of the square. So you're delivering him the ball, and you're, look, whatever he might return from it is neither here nor there. But if you have Shamey Callan at the edge of the square and have Paul coming in on top of him, it would have a backline more worried than they probably than they would be if he was out of field. If you get,
especially like with Dennis Maher, fullback is a natural forward. He could be a natural anywhere, to be honest. No, so like Shamey, that's a full forward naturally. Like, you know, he could hit the ball into him, but then he could win the ball himself from the half hour midfield. Like, he got one great point in the first half, and I thought I'd get him going, but then he wasn't getting on the ball. Then But also in that same period, I think Stephen Mead, two or three blocks. I think Stephen Mair, a great block as well. We're doing a lot of blocking and hooking, which Roma run that. And we were kind of well disciplined not to foul him. We kind of stood him up. Rowan stood up one, it was a Campion's one time, I'm not sure who it was. And he stood him up and he's got a block in and cleared and got a score. So, like, everything kind of worked out in the days. Even if Horry kind of hasn't peaked there for that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, excellent. The hooking and blocking and just the measured tackling. You know, there was nothing, no rash, no pulling and dragging, no, just, you know, it was calculated. And it was a finely tuned Sarsfield's team. To, you know, to the best display I've seen him given in a long, long time now. And it's after changing me thinking for the county favourites now, I'll be honest, coming away from it. And that's...
Please, no, we can't have that tag.
I know, Sarah's lads will argue... lads will argue that Drum were poor, but... Sarah's did not leave him hurt. They just did not leave him hurt. And they were, for me, they were awesome. I thought it was the performance of the weekend.
I'd agree 100%. Definitely performance of the weekend. Sean, there's no getting over this. They're strong in every department. Made, you know, like we'd probably, I think it was similar maybe to the Swan game against Killinall, Stephen, that we talked about as well. But I think just Turles made Drum look bad. I think that their intensity, their work rate, their skill on the ball, like the way that Everton was just snapped to hand, like it was just an exceptional performance. As I said, like when you look, you know, after beating Nina now, Drum, Lochmore next, like if he'd go on to win this championship, like, and I don't think it's two steps ahead here, it'll really be done the hard way. But I was really, because again, with Sarsfield, it's maybe not, you know, maybe lacking a few household names compared to previous years, like, you know, like, Corbett now, they're kind of the real marquee players, but you have like the Stakelums, Billy McCarthy, Stephen Carr, like all hurling out their skin now, like, and you know, you're able to bring Paddy Creedon on then for the last, what, 15 minutes?
Reminder, last 10 minutes that loud, even the bench again made a difference. Like Sean Butler off injured there on, who had a great game the last day, went off after about 20 minutes there, not sure how he is. Like Tommy Doyle came on, couldn't score a goal actually when he came on. Another hit lad or something, whatever. Like Conor Lanigan came on as well, David Carver. So, like, there's options there. We're kind of always mixing it up. But as you say, like, we're beating who's in front at the moment and, like, have to stay going at that.
Yeah, he's being quiet enough now. He's he's not giving away much. We love it, right? Yeah, exactly. You're right, too. And, absolute cracker, I think, against Lochmore to look forward to. Then we won't ask you to call that one, but I suppose as we better move on down to the Premier Intermediate, the first of our apologies maybe due. We'll take the relegation first. Mine Temple 2, actually no apology required, just following our great pod advice, Stephen. I think you suggested moving Conor Bow up, so they moved him up to midfield. Garrod O'Connor, I think, got 16 points, but you know, they were worthy winners against Newport, who looking, see, we're going to lose a North team now for this with Sean Tracy's beating Newport in the other semi final. But mine out a bit of trouble and some turnaround after the St. Mary's game.
Yeah, come with the man, Grod O'Connell with 16 and 9 from play, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that's I'm the county player, give me the ball attitude, you know, and that was fantastic. Look, I think they deserved the criticism the last few weeks. You know, they were really poor, you know, and that's going back to the Cashley game. You know, you've 3 men advantage and you don't know what to do with the ball. The criticism, while we didn't try to make it personal, we critiqued the game and they deserved it the last few weeks. They were going extremely poor. But being in the situation they were in a relegation semi-final, they performed and they delivered. And when they were in that match, that's all they wanted. Get the result, get out of here, and start afresh next year. And fair play to them, like, you know what I mean? And by all accounts, now, again, we've loads of hurling this weekend, so it's not a game I got to see. But by all accounts and reports, is your two county men stood up and delivered and were excellent on the day. And that's all you can ask for. And fair play to them for getting out of trouble.
Exactly. And I was flicking over to this game, I suppose, with the extra time in the first game. It meant, you know, your first senior game, it meant you kind of could watch little bits and pieces of most games, or you could kind of focus on one of them. But yeah, I think that wouldn't mind it. You know, they're always, every time I flicked over, they were 4 or 5 points up they seem comfortable. So yeah, Newport again, we mentioned that they were definitely a team not playing to the sum of their parts, and Sean Tracy, this is another game I didn't see the weekend, but again, we go back to Portrone maybe just really suffering from those couple of absentees in attack. And again, they went to this game and just said that Portrone had nobody to put the ball over the bar. I know they'd be paying for a plane ticket now for a couple of weeks for Ruan Mulrooney to go back in from the States or to Cam. But again, you know, these two clubs would be very disappointed to be where they are now in a game away from the intermediate grade.
Yeah, they will. And like Newport, not long up in the Premier and Intermediate ranks. Like, you know, they were promoted.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I think it was 2015 or 16 around that time. I remember playing him when we came down intermediate from senior, and yeah, they'd be very disappointed, you know. Poor scoring, and as I said, putting the ball over the bar, as we'll talk about later on in intermediate games. You need that man putting the ball over the bar. You need that one person who can do it. And it's a huge weapon to have. And unfortunately for them, they don't have that man to put it over the bar. And now they're in a relegation final. An all-North relegation final, probably familiarity. Probably both clubs will be happy to be playing each other in a weird way that they probably feel they can beat each other because they know each other a little bit better than they know the other teams, you know. It's just going to be a tough afternoon, because when you're in that relegation final, and I've been there a few times, you know, confidence is not high, morale is on the ground. It's a dogfight now for 60 minutes.
Absolutely. I suppose that's our first, I suppose, taking the congratulations. Maybe a little apology from me next now to the good people of Turles Sarsfields, because I said debt taxes and Turles Sarsfields going out in the quarterfinal of the Orion. But Sean, you certainly deserved your semi-final place this year now with a hard-fought win over Burgess. They got level there. I think they actually went a point up late on, but Sars grounded out again.
Oh, cracking win, yeah. This team, it's a team that keeps kind of giving, to be honest, and it's an enjoyable win as any. Firstly, we've had great wins there this team over the years. A bit neat, our mind there, and I think it was in the year I won it actually, maybe in a quarter final or something there under lights one of the evens as well. So, like, we've had these wins in Bursley that we remember, but like going into the game up against the Big North team, like, we should be probably be up, think to be up senior, but we kind of don't hurled like the same. We kind of went, and we had the physicality as well to kind of match that at times. And our veteran, Mike Cal in backs, was phenomenal. Like, he came out a ball there at times, like when we needed him, he made runs. But then our forwards, then, as always, we've lads that can score from various positions. But even at the end, then Burge got a point up with 3 or 4 minutes to go. And I was like, fucking hell, threw it away. You know, we need something to dig out. And
the text ready.
You the text ready. I see a few texts ready. Had a few subs, and Mikey Bryan came on, got 2 points, like, you know. And we got ahead, and then maybe Burgess lost the head a bit, maybe with Laga sent off. And then did another free, the left short, and Laga sent off, was probably going to hit the free. He wasn't sent off, and they got a point. So things are on about, and like, you know, so, but like, our lads, like, deserve it, to be honest. Like, it wasn't a case of people going, oh, this free in at the end decisions. Like, but there's still 3 or 4 minutes on the clock. If that went over, the ref wasn't going to blow the game up a draw. Like, we could have still scored a point, or we could have actually scored a point. So it's just great to get there now. Like, and in the same final, going up against, no matter who we're up against. So it is just to get that kind of into the final four for our second team. And both teams be going now training this week and recovery sessions. So that's morale, and that's what I want in the group, with the same management over both teams.
Yeah, no draw made in this one, because Laura have to play their quarter final against Clonakilty. Laura, I suppose there was a bit of discontent over them being number one in the power rankings. I don't think if Ivanton got to do with it, they'll be number one this week, because the all south game in Ardfinnan on Sunday, I was very impressed with Killinall, how they disposed of Carrick Swan. Swan got a couple of late goals, maybe put a bit of a gloss on the results, but you know, I think they lost by 8 points in the end, but it was more of a 14-point beating. Stephen, not sure if you saw much of this one, but very impressed by Killinall. You know, Joe Dwyer there kind of sit in the half-back line, looks so assured back there. You know, the Dwyer's bad bubbles on the line, kind of still injured, like, but, you know, the Dwyer's kind of running. The Stakelum's a big threat up in the forwards, and they're just all, you know, we say about Killinall, we criticise them a bit the odd time, that they're not playing as a team, but I think they certainly are this year.
Yeah, and I got a little bit of it on the phone there while, as I said, between halftime and extra time and all the... And I suppose one thing I would have criticised Clonard with about down the years was physicality and stomach for a fight. And by all accounts and seeing clips, they dominated the fight. You know, they brought the intensity, they brought the war. And, you know, and Declan Fannin has his hands all over this team. I know he's the manager or not, but I hurled against Declan Fannin a couple of times down the years, and he'll hurl you if you want, and if you want to be an arsehole, he'll be an arsehole. You know, if you want it tough, he'll give it to you tough. And Killinall now look like a tough team, you know, and I think it's fantastic for Killinall. I think they're always a good team, but did they have it in the stomach? Did they have the grit in the stomach for it? And by all accounts, this was a hammering at the weekend, and you know, and there was I think they might have been at one stage early in the game 5 points all, and then just Killinall took off, turned on the jets, turned on the physicality, brought the intensity, initiated everything that you need to do in a hurling match, and they did it. And you know, that's it's going to be like, there was no scary moments like the South Final. That's where I tipped this one last week, because I thought they conceded a soft goal in the South Final. They had them rattled in the second half. They made one or two bad decisions at the end of the game that could have won them the South Final. And they had to measure them over the years. But it was like chalk and cheese this weekend. You know, Killinall really dominated the game and deserved every point of the victory, even though the scoreline didn't reflect the full value of the victory. And they're going to be very confident now going into the next round.
Absolutely. I just flicking down through the team here, their spread of scores is quite impressive. And, you know, Swan, the likes of O'Halloran there, kind of, you know, led the resistance. But Kevin Lanigan, their centre back, like, you know, kind of booked early on and off, kind of settled after that. Just look at Paddy Feehan there, you know, excellent again. Like Tom Stakelin, 3 points from play. You know, they just Swan couldn't match him for the spread of scores. Very reliant on, I think, Gavin O'Halloran got 1-8 overall, including the penalty and 6 frees. The full forward line only got 3 points between them. They'd be quite young. You know, Aaron Dunn, obviously, as we all know, is a very good hurler. Taylor Fleming, probably first year or two up.
First year on the panel, yeah.
So I had a good couple of moments, but, you know, I think he was out to the sideline a bit more than he'd want to be, kind of, you know, had to come that far for possession, whereas he wasn't a threat out there. Killinall probably happy to see him out there. Just one of those days for Swan. And, you know, they did improve, I think, when Danny O'Hanlon came on. But, you know, the bird had flown at that stage. You know, and I know probably this stage a 60-minute player. But I just wonder, maybe would they be better off to start him and, you know, try and come with something different. But, you know, I just think Killinall were so good. I don't think it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, and they were excellent. And look, this has to be said as well. This is Killinall without Bowles Dwyer as well. You know, he's injured. He's probably not going to see any action this year, maybe. But you know, they're not, like, as you said, Swan relied on Gavin O'Halloran to get the scores, and I'm not sure it was him from midfield. He was playing most of the game midfield, but he's doing most of the scoring anyway. If your forwards are not contributing, you know, eventually that's going to show, you know. And he said 3 points from the inside line. You know, they're young, they'll learn, this will bring them on a ton, you know, learning from this. And they've, you know, there's some good lads on the line that can help them grow as players. But this Kilnall team, without Bubbles De Weijer, without your marquee man, without one of your talisman, and they're still performing like that, spread the scores, not over relying on anyone. It's, you know, it's brilliant going from Kilnall. They're South champions. They went into a county semi final now with their eyes firmly on the prize ahead of them, and they're going to take stopping. They're going to take stopping. They're fit. They're strong. And the two boys up, the Tom Stakel up top, I think is a monster. I love watching him
Yeah,
hurl,
they couldn't
especially in
handle him.
foot when he's in full flight. I think, you know, he's a stride on him there, like two or three strides is five or six of a smaller man's stride, you know. And it's just there's only better he's getting from what I'm seeing him the last few years. So, you know, the spread of scores is huge for him. It's huge. And you know, you can snuff out one person if he's doing all the scoring. You can't snuff out five or six unless you're playing phenomenally yourselves. And you know, they'll be extremely happy and extremely confident going into the next round.
Exactly. And you know, we don't, as I said, we don't know who will they be playing or who they get in the next round, the semi-finals. But you know, maybe a team that they won't want to play is Cashel, who had again, I was very impressed with Gartner who when they beat St. Mary's in the preliminary quarter. Week long might have been a short enough period for the turnaround to be able to get up, but they matched Cashel for a long period. But in the end, I think Cashel's panel took over, and you know that not even sure. I think it was a 4 point win in the end in this one. But again, yeah, I think Cash will make it a bit of a statement there.
Yeah, look. We love to throw a few digs at Cashel, you know, down the last year or two with the transfers and all that. But we have to give them credit as well. You know, there were 3 men down against Moyne Temple too. I know it turned out Moyne Temple too, we weren't great, but they dug out and they got the win. You know, they topped their group. They have to coming in here against a, I think, a fantastic Gartnahoe team. You know, and they you know, and they've got the win. I said last week, now the biggest obstacle for Cashel is to can they. They deal with the weight of expectation, because there's huge expectation on. They have massive numbers. They've, you know, they've a big panel at the Premier Intermediate level, and they've some great players. You know, they have to deliver, and look, they're doing it this year. You know, I think the way they ended last year, they wouldn't be happy at all about it. But this year, they're getting business done, and you know, they're a big team as well. They're a solid team. There's some big hurlers there, and there's some great hurlers too as well. They're going to be very confident. They're going to be a serious handful in that semi-final for whoever they're playing.
And I think you know what they have is a very good contribution off the bench, which is I think in these games now going forward. I think Adrian Cummins might have came on again and did very well for him. You know, he's a solid kind of impact sub there if I have the right lad. And you know, they just have the couple of suspensions, the couple of lads that were suspended for a couple of games in the group stages now don't come, so it's feeding the competition. They've a lad back from America as well. So yeah, again, it's they look like a team that's really prime now for Ollie Moran with them as well to the end of the year. So they look like a team that's kind of primed for a right go at this championship.
I think, like, on that as well, I think with Laura not playing this again, Kilnane and Gartner or Kilnane and Cashel have put down some markers there and that, like, go out and match was there and shows that are made of, like, you know, being a fancy team to win this. Like, so that's the thing, you know, they're there, they'll see now how Laura go. I know we talk about that, like, the game was postponed there due to bereavement of Johnny Kenny. But like, this, like, them three, considering Laura get home, like, ourselves, we'll be the kind of the bridesmaids looking at them, maybe, like.
Yeah, you know what, Sean, I would put you as outsiders. I'd be honest. I don't think, you know, Clonakilty, they'll be saying that Laura any sure thing, definitely given how tight some of these games have been. But you know, that's a bit of a disadvantage now, because Laura, you know, they'll only, if they do win or whoever wins that one, they'll only have the week break to the semi final. You know, so again, as Gordon Hook kind of maybe found out, it's a tight enough turnaround.
And are
And
Benny repeat
pitches are getting
parents?
heavier.
Yeah, so you Just in the intermediate, you have to have a draw, so because there's three, so that there has to be a repeat pairing. So
in the Premier, this in the Premier Intermediate, is there?
In the Premier Intermediate, you won't. Laura and Killinall won't be able to meet if Laura qualify.
All right.
So, again, there. What will that mean? There, Cashel can play everyone. Clonakenny, they're in Burgess Group. So yeah, they'll be fine as well. So that's the only two that can meet each other there. So again, look, there's a 50% chance of a Killinall Cashel semi-final, which would be an absolute cracker. Down to the intermediate, lads. Are we due any apology here, or we have to give an apology, do we, with Golden win?
Yeah. huge slice of humble pie over Golden. Jesus, fair play to him. I didn't see that coming now. Look, I suppose I want to counter this with, I did win senior Dan Breen last man standing, so I'm able to pick a winner. but fantastic result for Golden, you know, in the county semi-final. And I really thought with Drum, I don't think they lost too many players to the seniors. But when you have like Sarsfields in the Premier Intermediate as well, when you're training with your senior team, you know, training is that bit sharper, it's that bit quicker. You're training with players that are that bit better. I really thought Drum would have too much of a spread around the field. Now, I did mention Golden's inside line, especially Leamy. You know, I didn't think they'd get enough ball to him. But they turned over, and I think they had 3 or 4 points, 5 points maybe even to spare. And
yeah, and
that's
when you look, it was just a stinker of a weekend for Drum all around. That I said, maybe touch on that kind of thing starting to go a bit south with that performance against Bracken.
I think they won by 13 or 14 then, no? Was that a big win?
Yeah, I think it was more than, I just can't get it up here.
Oh yeah, well, I owe him another apology, so I'm only saying 5 points, Jesus Christ. but either way, it was a fantastic performance, fantastic result, and they find themselves in a county semi-final now after being completely written off. And if we're honest, they probably go in there thinking the other teams are going to think the same about us again this weekend or next weekend. You know, they're going to love it. Their preparation is going to be under the radar. Nobody's going to be talking about them as like they will the other three, and they will love that. It's a GAA thing. Nobody wants to be favourites, and even more so, you want to be a huge underdog. And you know, fair play to them. You know, and hats off to them. Humble pie will be it tonight.
111 to 318. So. Yeah, that's quite the fight to win.
There must have been a real one.
Yeah, we may as well not kind of, you know, overpraise them, because they will be the team that all the other three remaining teams want to face in the semi final. They're going to have to raise it again. I mean, Kappa White arguably unlucky, you know, kind of gave Kilchina a good head start in the first half, couldn't claw back down. Care this one was on Saturday again, like, you know, just gave themselves too much to do.
I got to see this one on Clover, but yeah, they just give them to, like, Kilsheen are not a team that you give a big head start to, because they have the boys up top to hurt you, you know. And I fancied Kappa White to get scores, but it's keeping out the other end is another issue, because look, Mark Hill is a county forward, inter-county forward, even All-Ireland medal under his belt, he knows where the posts are. And his younger brother, Barry, I think is a fantastic hurler. I love watching him play hurling.
Good one again.
And I think he's so underrated, maybe not underrated, but there's so much focus going on to Mark that Barry is causing havoc against teams. And they just gave him too much of a head start. I don't know, is it a belief thing? You know, but like, you give them that kind of a head start, and you're climbing a mountain then in the second half. And, you know, all Kilsheen had to do was keep the scoreboard ticking over, while Cap White had to do all the work in the second half. Now, they nearly pulled it off. They had a brilliant, brilliant second half, but it was just a little bit too much work left to do.
Yeah, but, you know, Cap White are building. I think they can be happy enough. Another West title in the bag. Or, you know, as we said, that there's one or three teams likely to win this competition. You know, I think Darren McCarthy there had a fine year. Big score threat for them. So, you know, their future is definitely bright for Kappa White. You know, so hopefully that'll get me back in the good books with the good people of West Tipperary. Moneygall, all North Clash. Now, Moneygall, I suppose, not a surprise that they beat Bars game, but maybe that they beat them so well. I think there was about 7 or 8 in this one. 2-10 to 3-15, so yeah, 8 points.
Look, I wasn't a bit surprised by the result. I think Moneygall are a fantastic team. And, you know, I know Kilsheelan rested a few up on mine against Moneygall, but Moneygall were also missing a few as well. And the way they were able to respond to the adversity of Kilsheelan going ahead late in the game, you know, I think they're an excellent team, and you know, I wasn't surprised with the result. And you know, they had a tough old group, although the three of them were qualified by way of winning the divisions. I think three of the teams went out to actually top that group, you know, and they didn't hold back in any of the games against each other. They didn't try and hide their hands, you know, this whole saying, don't show your hand. There was none of that BS either. And I think they're, like, you know, they were in the county final last year against Laura, you know, so they're good. These are
and
a good
they
team.
What they have is two inter-county standard forwards as well, which is crucial at this level.
It's the lads up top. They're the game winners, you know. If you have lads that are scoring, it makes a massive, massive, like, you can defend as a unit, you know. The sum of your parts will far outweigh a marquee centre back, let's say, you know, because you can avoid them. But if you have lads up top that know how to score and are scoring, it's, you know, it's a difficult task ahead of you.
Absolutely. We won quarter final to
Moreland, Knockville again. Yeah. That was on, yeah, Sunday early. It's actually on before. Watching a bit of it there before the games in the stadium. Moreland, 20-15 was. Moreland always had enough. Knockville just couldn't get scores near the end, but kind of expect Moreland, from what kind of showing this year, to have enough in that game. But it's kind of again, it died to not even the last 10 minutes. Both teams just kind of hitting the ball towards goals, and neither were kind of scoring. But
yeah, Knockaville, I suppose, did a few late chances again. I'm like yourself, I only saw the end of that. Did a few kind of half chances late on, but they couldn't even forge a goal to kind of make a game of it. Or
Borland all looks safe.
Decision making was a bit off. But yeah, Borland, you know, they're strong. You know, again, they're looking strong there. I'd be very slow to try and pick a winner from this last four.
Transfers might
this one, actually,
tip.
Do we have a draw on this one must be made, don't we? Who got who?
Do we? I can't remember now off the top of my head whether it was a draw made. Oh no, Kilsheelan and Golden and Borland and Moneygall.
You're right.
Yeah, it is. So
again, the reason
is probably
not lost for the PV
there,
part. Yeah, that's a nice draw for Kilsheelan. You know, but like Golden, Cap White might have given him a bit of a template on how to play him. You know, they might learn a bit from that and might be tighter than you'd expect. The other one, I fancy for Moneygall.
Yeah, I think as well, Moneygall. I think
maybe unfinished business from last
kind
year.
Kind of primed a bit for, yeah, as you say, from last year and primed for previous years. I think this year, kind of, they've got this for now. They might just kind of keep it up, stay going.
Yeah. We finish out with the relegation. Tygarraville got out of this with a 1 point win, didn't they? Against Upper Church, probably closer than a few expected.
Yeah, a little bit closer, but I think we called it last week that I fancied Arvale to get out of this one anyway. I think Upper Church are in, they're the ones in bother, I think. But look, Arvale won't care how they got out of it. 1 point, 10 points, they don't care. It's about winning the game, and they got the result, you know, and they go back and they'll, you know, they're back to the drawing board for next year and figure out how to keep lads from going on holiday, maybe, because it's with the smaller teams down at this level, your big players, they're so important, you know, and Arvale can't afford to be missing their big players. So, look,
you know, like some teams, even you say, oh, look, they're in relegation 1 year, but, you know, it's a one-off, they learn from it. But Arvale, you just think that they might be back here again next year, like.
They could, but I think the beauty of the intermediate grade, unfortunately, is there's so many teams could be back in it, you know, like. Jeez, we would have been relegation favourites this year as well, you know, and we got the result against Arvale that got us out of trouble, for want of a, you know, I know it was only the first round, but that could have easily been us Had there been a result in the other group game on the day rather than a draw, it could easily have been one of them. Like, you can go from relegation candidates to promotion candidates within a year, because I think the problem lower down the division is consistency. You know, the likes of Kilsheelan, Moneygall and Borland are consistently good from game to game, but you take one good player out of the second tier of teams and they could go from being brilliant to being brutal. You know, and I think that's the problem down for a little bit lower. Like if Ara Vaile got their act together next year, you know, and put a little bit more focus on actually on hurling. I know they're a football club as well, like, but they could go to the other end, not so much the other end, but they could be looking at qualifying out of the group. And I think that's the important part, is the consistency of teams that little bit low. Look at ourselves, for example. We were brilliant the first day, brilliant the second day, although we didn't get the result, and absolutely brutal the third day. You know, the big teams and the better teams are consistent every day. You know, and that's what the lads down in the second half of the table, the likes of ourselves and Ara Vaile and the rest of the clubs, that's what we have to get better at, consistency.
Last game there was Kildangan hit 414 and still lost against Shannon Rovers, who hit 30 points. So I had to do my maths. So that was a 4-point win for Shannon Rovers. Look, they're in that tough group with Kilsheelan, Boher and Boherland and Moneygall. So, you know, they're always going to be the draw in the intermediate relegation that the others didn't want. That leaves Kildangan in the relegation final against Upper Church. I'd fancy Kildangan to have too much there. They're just down from Premier Intermediate, so they
want to go in straight again. Just up, so like there's one he just up, one just down. Like the team that's down should be the winner, but them relegation battles, you never know. Like Shannon Rovers scoring 30 points, like they are against, like that's kind of a worry for Kildangan. Like that's some scoring for the weekend that's been gone as well. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Quick talk on the junior A lads again. I didn't see any of this the weekend, but no South representation in the semi-finals. Clonmelogue's odyssey has come to an end. They died with their boots on, I suppose, against Holy Cross. We're missing a few lads who deferred honeymoons and whatnot. Like, so, you know, fair play to them. They won't, I suppose, be too worried maybe after their South win. Good Holy Cross team by all accounts. And my Rovers might be a tad disappointed. They lost to Brackens after extra time. So another year junior hurling for the men in Monroe.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of men up in Monroe that are happy to be junior hurling next year, you know. Scant regard to pay to the hurling there up. So I have no sympathy for them. I would have tipped them, and I was vocal about it. I would have tipped them to, if they applied themselves, if they took it really serious, I'd have tipped them to walk straight back up. You know, I played them down the years and they can be fantastic. They can be brutal then when they don't care about football. You know, they put on a performance out of Dav a few years ago in a South Intermediate final. And they were, I go as far as to say they were coasting until they got a blast of energies, injuries. You know, and then to see them relegated now and struggling up the county is, you know, it's a sorry sight, but it's all their own doing.
Look, you know, for speaking as a South person here, we need another team or two up intermediate. Mm-hmm. Like that South Junior A is completely bloated, like, and I don't think it's any good for hurling in the South to see the likes of, you know, my Rovers, Kerr, Grange Mochler, even Federt, like, you know, are kind of rebuilding, just stuck down Junior A. It's nearly an impossible competition to get out of. Ballinhinch should probably be favourites, I think, as well. They're in the semi final. They're not sure who completes the semi-final lineup there, but look, as we said, plenty of action. Mary's, since we talked last, Mary's picked up a valuable under-19 title on Wednesday evening against the Swan, so bad week for the Swan all around, but I think that's four in a row for Mary, so we get maybe we get the pleasure of playing Holy Cross tomorrow night under lights in Littleton, so that'll be a tough one. Sean there looking T grimacing a bit maybe at the prospect of that, but sure, look, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Holy Cross pull away against us there last Wednesday night in Drumban. Scoring probably didn't reflect the game. We kind of pushed on. We had to get a few scores in the end. You kind of left the back line off maybe, but like Holy Cross are fair outfit there, that like, and they won't take some beating like with the 17-19 double there in a bit, like, so around the way, and we just mentioned Monsignor as well, so best luck, Kevin. That's all I can say.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll be grand. We'll be fine. Right, lads. Sure, look, we'll leave it there. Plenty of action against the football quarterfinals on this weekend. So I suppose hurling wise, we can all breathe for a weekend and relax. But plenty of action on this weekend again as all the championships come to their conclusion. Thanks a million, lads. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.